It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, we talk with Wisconsin U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin about her new legislation targeting the rising costs of prescription drugs.
First, there are dueling education funding plans in Wisconsin. The governor's budget would increase current spending levels by about $650 million after cuts in previous budgets. But his Republican colleagues in the state assembly have proposed their own plan.
Yesterday, assembly supporters of that plan made their case in an event in Chippewa County. Their plan includes $90 million less than the governor's, and it would give more money to districts who get less under the state's current school funding formula.
That formula was set 24 years ago. There have been complaints over the years about unequal funding between districts, but the complicated nature of the plan makes it a daunting task to try to fix it.
Alan Borsick joins us now with some context. He's a senior fellow at Marquette University Law School and education columnist for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Alan, welcome back to the show.
Glad to be here.
Well, as we said, that assembly plan would tinker with the school funding formula. This is maybe one of the most complicated pieces of Wisconsin government, as I understand it. What does the school funding formula do?
Well, that's hard to sum up, except that it does exactly that. It funds schools, and the bulk of it is from state general revenues. For quite a while, the principle was that it would cover two-thirds of the cost, and it slipped some from that in recent years. But state aid is still a huge issue, and the bulk of the rest comes from local property taxes.
And why are people seeing problems with it, inequalities between districts?
Well, partly because they've been there forever. And in 1993, this is where the 24-year-ago figure keeps popping up, there was a plan adopted by the legislature, largely pushed by Governor Tommy Thompson at that time, for what was called the three-legged stool to try to stem the fairly rapid rise in education costs at that time. And the three legs were, one was limiting how much more teachers could get in pay and benefit increases. One was increasing state aid to schools to reduce property taxes. That's where the two-thirds figure came from. And one was putting a cap on how much schools could spend each year, which became known as the revenue cap or revenue limits, and it's how much they can take in property taxes and state aid and a couple other little things, but that's the bulk of it. So you run the clock ahead to now, and the limits on teacher raises are gone, largely replaced by the impact of Governor Walker's Act 10 of 6 years ago. And the two-thirds commitment has slipped away, but the revenue caps are still there. At that time in 1993, they just put a cap on everything that districts were spending, and there was a wide range of what districts were spending. And it wasn't simply the rich get richer and the poor get poorer, although that's somewhat true. But a lot of richer districts were quite frugal. Some poor districts were fairly generous, and that became the base for building the revenue cap, and it's still the base, and the disparities have become, if anything, more important over the years. And they can be quite wide. It can be almost $3,000 or some cases, a few cases more than that, per year, per kid, which is a lot of money.
3,000-year difference per student in districts. That's a lot.
It's a lot. The column I'm writing for the Journal Sentinel for this weekend focuses on an example. And it's not the worst. And between Milwaukee and Shorewood, which the distance is one width of a street, not even that busy a street, and the gap is $1,200. Well, if you got 500 kids in a school, that's $600,000. That's a lot of spending, a lot of teachers and teachers' aides and resources for helping kids. It makes a big difference.
Talking to Alan Borsick, senior fellow at Marquette University Law School education columnist. He writes for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, looking at Wisconsin's school funding formula and maybe a possible change. Now, what are the assembly Republicans doing? They're saying, hey, we're going to put a little less money in than the governor wants in this increase in funding, but they want to tweak this revenue limit formula. What would they change?
Well, and to kind of correct something that was said earlier, they wouldn't send more money to the low-revenue districts as much as they would give the low-revenue districts the option of increasing their property taxes more than they would be able to now. So a district that has a revenue cap of $9,300 would be allowed under their proposal to raise it by 2 years from now to $9,800 per kid. But that would become almost all from property taxes, which is to say local decision-making, and not from the state.
Politically, how does that go? The governor has been making a big point of holding property taxes constant or even lowering them to the levels of a few years ago. Is this something that, would fly with the governor?
That's a good question. And it certainly is interesting that all this fighting, and it's really pretty intense, is within Republican circles. The governor, the Senate Republicans, the Assembly, Assembly Republicans, the Democrats are just sort of sitting there eating popcorn and watching the show at this point. So I don't know how much the governor will insist on having things his way, and Senator Fitzgerald, the head of the Senate Republicans, and Assembly Speaker Voss were really butting heads in the course of the week. Something will happen, but it is going to be tricky.
Now, some schools obviously stand to gain here. If that limit is changed, they could raise more in property taxes to make up for some of the imbalance. Now, would some schools lose under what the Assembly is calling for as compared to what the governor wants to do?
Well, yes, and there's a number of provisions where that would be true for some districts, but the biggest thing is that the governor, in a move that was really fairly generous to schools, called for increasing overall state aid to schools $200 per student in the first year of the coming budget and another $200 in the second year. The Assembly proposal calls for trimming that by $50 in the first year, which would still have an impact in the second year. So it's a fairly substantial deduction. That's where the $90 million figure comes in. So all public schools, in fact, even probably voucher and charter schools, would lose that $50. And you say, well, $10,000, what's $50? Again, multiply it by the number of students, and it becomes millions of dollars. In the case of Milwaukee Public Schools, it's probably, something like $4 million, just that one provision.
Looking at the revenue cap, the whole funding system as a whole, have there been calls for the state to really seriously revisit this thing and try to fix it from the ground up?
Well, have there been calls? Yes. Have they gotten anywhere? No. The formula's been locked in. When Jim Doyle ran for governor in 2002, that was one of the things he said, is I'm going to overhaul the school spending formula. He appointed a task force. The task force made a report. It died immediately, and no one's really touched that since then, except for all the changes that resulted from Act 10, which weren't really a funding formula change. They were just a whole funding revolution.
We'll leave it there for now. Alan, thanks for joining us today.
Glad to be here.
That's Alan Borsig, senior fellow at Marquette University Law School and education columnist for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel.